present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
Waiting at the Church.
Oh, yes, Mr. Whittle. When our Peggy phoned this morning and said there'd been a mix-up over her time of the wedding on Saturday, well, I nearly had a fit.
I'll bet you did, Pat. It must have been very disconstructing. Especially as she's your sister. And what about the arrangements of the boys' ham and the booze-up?
Oh, the reception? Oh, we've been lucky there, Harry. As the wedding's at 11:30, we've managed to get the reception brought forward to 1:00, and we think all the guests can make it.
Oh, good. Well, here's hoping there won't be any more catastrophes.
I hope you're right, Harry. I'd hate anything to spoil my daughter Peggy's wedding day.
Ah, there they are. Three rich lace weavers from Nottingham. Hand over your money.
Hey, Jim, be careful where you're pointing that bow and arrow. You might do somebody an injustice.
Aye, Whittle's right. What do you think you're playing at?
I'm one of Robin Hood's bowmen in our school pageant next week. Don't move, Sheriff Sinclair, or with one arrow from my trusty bow, I'll cut through your braces and your pants will fall down.
Oh, so you've got your costumes for the pageant, then?
Well, we've been measured, but some of them haven't come yet. Oh. Hey, guess what? Ozzy's Walter Raleigh, yeah, and Charlie Thompson's Francis Drake. And you should see the costumes. Long stockings and baggy bloomers.
Jimmy, that's what they call doublet and hose.
So your pal Ozzy's Sir Walter Raleigh, eh, Jim?
Yes, and in the pageant, he has to bend down and lay his cloak on the ground for the Queen. And if I can get behind him with me bow and arrow, he'll break the school record for the long jump.
If I were the Queen, I'd have you locked up in the tower. Well, who is good Queen Bess anyway?
Oh, we're not sure. It might be Spotty Barraclough if he gets over his measles in time.
Well, I'm sure that as a bowman, Jim, you look the picture of sartorical ignorance.
Oh, I'm all right. I'll be wearing me ordinary clothes, a leather jerkin and a hat with a feather in it. I've got to go and see about it on Saturday morning.
But, Jimmy, Saturday's the day of your auntie's wedding, and it's been brought forward to 11:30.
What? You mean Flagpole Peggy's getting splashed in the morning?
Jimmy, don't talk like that about your auntie.
Well, she is tall and thin, Grandad. Ozzy says that with her funny face, she looks like an Indian totem pole.
No, we don't want to hear any more funny remarks about your auntie.
I'm sorry, Mum, but Auntie Peggy should think herself lucky.
What?
If she hadn't you for a sister, she wouldn't have had wonderful me for a nephew.
Well, she's lucky to be getting a man like Betleg. Oh, he's a great sport and I like him.
I know. You said that the first time he took you out for a pint. I've just had a funny thought. When me auntie marries Bertleg, she'll have to change her name.
That's right. Well, what about it?
Well, instead of being called Peggy Sinclair, she'll be Pegleg.
Living room, Alfie.
Right-o, Susan.
Enter the lovers, Dopey and Scraggy. Hey, why don't you two get married and give the vicar a laugh?
Behave yourself. Hello, Alfie.
Yeah, hello, Mrs. Clitheroe, Mr. Sinclair. Did you get me reply to the wedding invitation?
Aye, we got it, thanks, Alfie.
Yeah, oh, good. Yeah, only Susan told me I should reply to it, because on the bottom it said RSPCA.
Oh, no, Alfie. That was RSVP. Responders, Silvois Platt. What you said has to do with dumb animals.
Yes, that's why he replied.
Well, Alfie, we shall look forward to the pleasure of your company in the church on Saturday.
Oh, it won't be a pleasure. Well, not for me. I mean, I've got a thing about weddings. Because once I was best man and I got everything mixed up. And when the vicar asked if anybody knew a reason why the couple shouldn't be married, I said I did. I'd forgotten the ring.
He writes poetry as well, you know.
Shut up, you. Mother, we called at Stewart's, the taxi people, and they can do the wedding at 11:30.
Oh, good. Did you tell your auntie?
Yes, I rang her, and something else has happened.
Oh, no. Now, what is it now?
Well, you know little Cousin Samuel and Cousin William were going to be the pages.
We know that. They're a couple of real dozy twits. When Specky Sam and Batty Billy go in the church, the organist ought to play Two Sleepy People.
Oh, get over it. One of them won't be in church because Batty Bitty's ill. Yeah, but William's got Batty Jaundice. But Bed's in Billy with a funny colour. Well, Willie's gone yellow.
Well, I always said he was a coward.
Oh, cut it out, Jimmy. So poor little Billy's done with yellow jaundice. What a shame.
Yes, and they want Jimmy to take his place.
What? Me? A page boy? Oh, not on your Nelly.
Oh, but Jim, you should consider yourself highly honourable. When you walk down the aisle as a page boy behind your auntie, you'll be holding up the train.
What do you want, a page boy or a signalman?
Oh, no, not that sort of train. Look, when your auntie goes down the aisle in her wedding dress, there'll be a long bit of stuff trailing behind her.
Oh, you mean my cousin Lily?
He knows what you mean, Mr. Whittle. Now, look, Jimmy, you're going to be a page boy and like it.
I'll be a page boy, but I won't like it.
Mother, if Jimmy is going to be a page, he's got to go down to Barrett's, the outfitters, before 6 o'clock. He'll have to wear the suit that was ordered for Cousin William, and it'll need altering.
Oh, well, it's turned 4:15 already. I'd better take him down there.
Well, will you come and look at my dress before you go? It still doesn't seem to fit properly.
Oh, all right, love. Shouldn't take us long. Come into the other room.
I think it's time I was off. Cheerio, Pete and Alfie.
Cheerio, Harry.
Goodbye, Mr. Whittle.
Cheerio, Jim. Have a good time at the wedding. And the best of luck with the hysterical pageant.
Thanks, Mr. Whittle. Give my love to the cat. Grandad, do I have to go to the wedding? Couldn't I just read about it in the papers?
Will you stop talking nonsense?
Jimmy, you'll enjoy being a page, because I was once one, and after the wedding I presented a lucky horseshoe to the happy couple and said, may this horseshoe bring you lasting happiness and lots of good luck. And the bride kissed me and said, thank you, little boy, and if we have a son like you...
That'll be the end of the good luck.
Oh, somebody thump him. Look, I must have been a good page, because the bridegroom gave me a present of 5 bob.
I'll bet I wouldn't get 5 bob, not even if I went round with the collecting plate.
You are? Hey, Bert Legg told me he's giving you and your cousin Sammy £2 each.
You mean I get £2? Just for carrying a few yards of lace curtain down the aisle? Grandad, I think I've changed my mind.
Oh, hello, Mr. Sinclair. May I come in?
Oh, it's you, Theodore. Come and sit down.
No, thanks. I'm just going out again.
Well, that was a quick visit.
James, your mother has asked me to take you to Barrett's, the outfitters, in my car, although I gathered you're not too keen about going.
You what? Did Mum tell you that? Well, she's upset me now, she has.
You mean you do want to go to the wedding?
Of course. It's my Auntie Peggy's wedding, and I'd do anything for her.
You'd do anything for money as well.
James, the tailor will attend to us just as soon as he can, so will you please behave yourself?
But Mr. Craythorpe, I haven't done anything naughty.
Not much you haven't. You've shaken hands with the tailor's dummy and called him Ozzy, tried on a bowler hat and a deer stalker, and then I caught you standing outside the cubicle where that man went to try on a new pair of trousers. What were you up to?
I was going to give him time to get his own trousers off and then shout... Fire!
James, you little rascal. Now, sit down and keep quiet.
I was only kidding.
Sorry to keep you waiting, sir. Now, what was it the little boy wanted?
The boy's name is James Clitheroe.
Of course, James Clitheroe, alteration to page boy outfit to be ready Friday a.m. Before we get down to the alterations, perhaps we'd like to inspect the clothes.
Oh, we'd be delighted. All one of us.
James!
Here we are, Sonny, your clothes for the wedding. One pair of light blue satin trousers.
Hey!
One frilly white blouse with lace collar.
You what?
And one pair of shoes with silver buckles.
Oh, I'm getting out of here.
James, come back. Where do you think you're going?
Look, I thought I was getting an ordinary suit. I'm not going to any wedding looking like a dog's dinner.
I don't know why you should complain about wearing a page's outfit. After all, your cousin Samuel will be wearing exactly the same.
Specky Sam, he's different. He's so daft, he'd look normal wearing a bikini and hobnail boots.
Now, come along, please. We are waiting to get to work.
Well, don't bother. We're going home.
James, I'm ashamed of us. Of you. You didn't make all this fuss when you heard about the present of the £2.
Oh, no, I'd forgotten that. If I don't turn up in this lot, I've had the lolly. And unless there was an accident...
James, what are you muttering about?
Oh, nothing. Mister, when will you deliver this suit?
It will be in your house by Friday lunchtime.
Yes, and in our dustbin by Friday night.
So this is the clubber you've got to wear for the wedding, Jim. Well, you're right about one thing. If your little pals see you in that get-up, they'll laugh so much they'll have compulsions.
Don't worry. They're not going to see me in this monkey suit. Now, where's that bottle of green ink?
Now, Jim, don't tell me you're going to spoil that suit with ink.
All right, I won't tell you, but I am. Look, the house is empty except for you, me and Alfie, and he's upstairs getting me a coat hanger for me suit. Now, when he comes down, I'll just happen to be standing behind this door, ink in one hand, suit in the other, and when he opens the door, he'll jog me elbow and the ink will go all over me suit.
Oh, it's you, Alfie. What are you doing upstairs?
Oh, heck, it's me mum.
I've just been getting this coat hanger for Jimmy. He's in the living room here.
Oh, I see. Well, come on, Alfie. We'll go in.
I'm sunk. Quick, Mr. Whittle, grab this bottle of ink.
But what shall I do with it, Jim?
Oh, anything, drink it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Whittle. You're in here with... Jimmy, what are you doing with that bottle of ink?
Trying to get rid of it,
You silly little boy. You might have got it all over your page boy suit.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Put that ink away and give me the suit.
But, Mama...
Give it to me. I'll go and put it away somewhere safe.
Jimmy, what about this coat hanger?
Oh, stick it in your jacket and hang yourself on the hall stand.
Oh, stop worrying, Jim. Don't forget, after the wedding, there's the reception.
That's what I'm worrying about. The reception I'll get from the Black Hand Gang. While you're throwing confetti, they'll be slinging tomatoes, still in the tins.
Don't be daft, they'll throw fresh uns. What am I saying? Look, they won't do anything.
I can see it now. I'll walk out in my sissy clothes, and in 2 minutes I'll look like a fruit salad.
Don't you worry, if they start throwing tomatoes, I'll do something about it.
Oh, that's fine, after they've thrown them. I'll be standing there with a red head, white blouse and blue trousers. What'll you do? Sing Rule Britannia? Ozzy and Charlie Thompson were talking to Specky Sam at school today and I saw him giggling. And as I came out, Ozzy said, "Ta-ra, Jim, we'll see you at church." And he walked away singing, "Yes, we have no tomatoes."
Hello there, little whacker. Hi, Alfie.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Whittle.
Hey, come in, Bert. Your granddad told us to wait in here for him, Jim.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Legg. Jim, this is Mr. Legg, the bridegroom. The man who's invited you to the church tomorrow to be it with tomatoes. Yeah, with a fruit salad. Yeah, a boat. To be a page.
What was that?
That was Jukebox Alfie, the lad with the long, plain tongue.
Look, any more from you and I'll take a pound of tomatoes myself tomorrow.
Now then, calm down, Alfie. Jimmy was only kidding. You shouldn't be so touched.
Oh, no, Harry, you mean he's touchy.
Oh, do I? Oh, yes, touchy. You know, sensitised. I didn't mean you... You know, I didn't mean you was mentally defunct.
No. No, no, you don't understand.
Don't bother, Mr. Legg. As they say in Bootle, you can't make a silk vest out of a cow's lug.
I didn't catch that, Jim.
I didn't throw it at you.
Now then, Jim, don't get impediment with me.
Now then, Harry, we're supposed to be celebrating tonight. My last night as a bachelor. Tomorrow at 11:30, I take the plunge.
And at 12:30, I take a nosedive. Hey, Mr. Legg, why don't you get married tomorrow night, about midnight?
Midnight?
Yes, I mean, there'd be no traffic about and...
Yeah, he means it'd be dark.
Well, what's the point of getting married in the dark?
Well, nobody could see your face. Yeah, I mean, but when Jim came out with you and the bride, there'd be nobody there to throw tomatoes at her. Jim, the page. I hope you'll be very happy.
Oh, hiya, Harry.
And how's the blushing bridegroom?
Hi, Pete.
Ah, hello, Peter. Well, I'm badly in need of a drink. After 5 minutes with Alfie here, my head's spinning.
Oh, well, a drop of medicine at the Rose and Crown will make you feel better.
Mr. Legg, if you're going out tonight, you won't feel very good in the morning. Why don't you have a good rest and get married on Monday, when the kids are at school? I could have the morning off.
Oh, Jimmy, it's all fixed. We've got to fly to Jersey tomorrow night on our honeymoon.
Well, why not get married when you come back?
You can't do that. You can't do that, Jim.
Why not?
Because if you're married, you can't... Well, having a honeymoon means... No, it'd be immortal.
Look, we must go, Jimmy, but in case things get a bit chaotic tomorrow, I'd better give you your present now. Here you are.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Legg.
Well, put that £2 away somewhere safe, Jimmy. Now, come on, lads, or Bert will be married before he has his bachelor party.
Aye, okay, Peter. Lean on Mac Duff.
Well, Jimmy, you got your money all right.
Yeah, it hardly seems worth going now, does it?
Jimmy, you've got to go.
Of course, I wouldn't stay away. Unless I was ill. And I'm not ill. Well, not really ill. Nothing to worry about. I mean, it'll probably go off by the morning, maybe. If I'm lucky. Alfie, I think I've got a touch of distemper coming on. That chalk tastes horrible. Still, I've got to have a white tongue if I'm ill. That's the first thing Grandad'll say. Let's see your tongue. If I said I got dandruff, he'd say, let's see your tongue. Ooh, that's it. Ooh, heck, every time I swallow, I lose half my illness. Now, is there anything else? Chalk on me tongue? Knuckles in me eyes? Yes, the red. Forehead and hands nice and damp. Now back in bed with me 2 hot water bottles. Stick me head under the bedclothes till I hear them coming and then do a Laurence Olivier.
Father, tell Susan to put the kettle on and I'll go and call Jimmy.
Right, you are, my dear.
Oh, good, it's Mum.
Come on, Jimmy, time to get up.
Good morning, Mum. I'm awake. I was just going to leap out.
What's the matter, son? Are you ill?
No, Mum. I feel fine. Just a bit warm.
Well, your head's burning and it's all damp.
Yes, it's leaking. I mean, it feels like water. Well, I'd better get up for the wedding.
Look, you stay where you are. What you want is an aspirin and a hot water bottle to keep you warm.
If I get any warmer, I'll burst into flames. What an actor. Next week, I think I'll do an audition for Dr. Kildare.
Well, what's all this, then? Let's have a look at your tongue. Well, it's a wee bit white.
So it should be. I mean, the way I feel... Are my eyes red?
Yes, they are.
Good. Goodness... You don't think it'll stop me going to the wedding, do you?
Well, there'll be no wedding for you, my boy.
Oh, well, I'll just have to be brave about it.
Granddad, Mother wants you. She can't find the aspirins.
Oh, right you are, Susan. Well, we've got an invalid in our hands.
Hello, Susan.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Been stuffing yourself with sweets, I suppose.
No, I haven't, Scraggy Neck. I mean, no, Susan, I'm all right.
Are you up to something?
Go on, be nasty, because I'm too weak to answer back.
Oh, what's that white stuff on your mouth? Come here.
Get off before I clout you.
You got your strength back suddenly, didn't you?
It was me final fling.
Susan, come here a minute, dear.
All right, Mother. I'll close the door, dear brother. We don't want the wind to blow on our invalid.
Oh, why did the stork have to bring her to our house? What was wrong with the zoo? What are they doing? Fancy leaving me alone when I'm sick.
Jimmy, I'm afraid you won't be able to go to the wedding.
Oh, Mum.
So you can't be a page.
Oh, what a pity.
Well, I better take the £2 back. Where is it?
In the drawer. Take it back.
Yeah, of course. They'll have to get another page, so it wouldn't be right to keep the money, would it?
You can't do that. I mean, get somebody else. It's too late.
Oh, they'll manage.
Mum, you know, I feel a bit better. In fact, a lot better. That aspirin's put me right. It was very good.
It was marvellous, considering it's still here in my hand.
Oh, heck.
Get out of that bed.
Yes, Mum. I'll be all right now.
So Susan was right. 2 hot water bottles, you little faker. Get into that bathroom, scrub yourself from top to toe and be downstairs in 15 minutes.
Yes, Mum.
You're going to the church with Mr. Craythorpe and Alfie in Mr. Craythorpe's car. And you're going to wear your blue trousers, white blouse and buckle shoes. Understand?
All right. But when the Black Hand gang start throwing, I'll duck behind the vicar. This is one year he won't enjoy the harvest festival.
Come on, Father. Let's get in the taxi and go home. I'm going to give that Jimmy what for.
After me, you will. When I saw him walking down that aisle in his grey flannels and school blazer, I could have crowned him with a font.
Well, come on. I told Alfie and Theodore to keep him in the house till we got home, even if they had to sit on him.
Well, that's something he won't do. When I've finished with him, he won't be able to sit down for a week.
I think that was a knock at the front door. I'll just go and see.
Sit down, James. You are not going near that front door.
No, we're keeping you here. It's what Susan said. If you got away, she'd never speak to me again.
In that case, you ought to pay me to go. Well, I'll just pop upstairs to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, I'll go with you. You can't go up there on your own.
Don't be daft. I'm a big boy now.
It's no use, James. You didn't wear your page's clothes, and your mother will have to know why.
Well, it wasn't my fault your old car got a puncture. I was only helping.
When helping to repair a puncture, it is not necessary to get under the car and start draining the engine oil all over your velvet trousers.
Hey, you won't tell me, Mum, that, will you?
I will not volunteer the information, James, but I cannot make up a story for you.
I'll make up the story. You just tell it.
You might as well tell them, Jim. If they find out what you told them isn't true, because they find out for themselves, it'll be a lot worse than if they didn't find out and you told them before they find out you're lying. They'll understand.
If we let you tell them, nobody will understand.
Be still here, Pat. Right, my lad. You've asked for a spanking this time, and you're going to get it.
Oh, heck, Grandad, I couldn't help it. I had to come back and change because I got oil all over me wedding clothes off Mr. Craythorpe's car.
You mean there was oil on the seat? Is that true, Theodore?
Yes, there was. Remember, you wiped the seat, Mr. Craythorpe.
Well, I did have to wipe oil off the seat.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jimmy sat down in his oily trousers. Oh, me folks!
Sorry, Alfie.
Just a minute. Did he get oil in his trousers from the seat?
No. When the car broke down...
That's right. I had to get under the car. Mr. Craythorpe and Alfie couldn't have squeezed under, could you? Remember, you've got one foot untouched yet.
No, we couldn't have squeezed under.
No, not without jacking it up.
Well, I suppose we'll have to accept that, but it's marvellous how everything works out the way you want.
Oh, well, it's true, Mum. I got under and loosened the nut and the oil came out.
Why didn't you jack the car up and let Alfie get under to mend it?
Don't be daft. You don't need to get under a car just to mend a puncture. Don't be folks! Oh, get trod on it again.
Sorry, Alfie. I meant to jump on it.
Theodore, what happened to Jimmy's clothes? And I want the truth, please. No shielding him.
Hello, folks. Can I come in? Or is it something private you're discussing?
Mr. Whittle, come in. Mum, it's Mr. Whittle. Good old Mr. Whittle. Well, you probably want to talk privately, so I'll go. I'll see you later, Mum.
Come here, you. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
The bottom of what?
Of me with a slipper.
Oh, well, if this is a private quarrel, I won't intersperse myself with family confirmations. I've just come to deliver this note.
A note? Who from, Harry?
A little fat geezer who was knocking on your door when you were out.
What was his name?
I forget. It ought to be on the note. Oh, yes. Treadmill, it was.
No, Mr. Treadwell, our headmaster. He's little and fat.
That's it, Jim Treadwell. He spoke with a very funny accentuation.
Oh, no. Father, read this. Oh, it's poetic justice.
What? Oh. Oh, well, that's rich. That's lovely. Oh, Jimmy, you don't need to worry. I won't spank you now. I won't need to.
What do you mean? What is it?
Look at it. It's about your costume for the pageant.
What? Oh, what a rotten trick.
Aye, and you'll be there, my boy, if I have to carry you.
What's up, Jim?
It's as good as a death sentence from the Black Hand Gang. They'll throw the fruit stall at me.
What are you on about?
My costume for the pageant. Mr. Treadwell says I'm not a bowman. I'm rotten good Queen Bess.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Leonard Williams as both Theodore Craythorpe and Harry Whittle, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan. Also appearing was Brian Truman. The recorded programme, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
The Clitheroe Kid was recorded by the BBC. Thank you.